Well, hey, everyone. We are here for our culture segment, and we are excited to introduce you to a new friend here at Boundless. And she's kind of like, okay, so I'm going to say this, and it's not like offensive, but she's kind of a mom. because we're going to be talking about in-laws. So I want to welcome Deb DeArmond. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Lisa.
Okay, so I didn't mean that to be rude.
No, but I don't
that
take it as rude.
Prior to introducing the subject, you know, I said we were talking about in-laws. She has a book, Related by Chance, Family by Choice, Transforming Mother-in-Law and Daughter-in-Law Relationships, because you have three daughters-in-law.
I do.
Right? Okay. And I understand, I want you to start off with the story about a woman coming up to you at a conference and wondering what your secret was because she heard that these girls actually liked you.
Yeah, it was a really strange experience. We were at dinner and she was seated across from me and I did not know her. It was the second night there, I think. And she leaned across and said, kind of under her breath, I want to know your secret. Hmm. And I looked up into the face of a woman I didn't know and said, I'm sorry, were you speaking to me?
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah, I want to know your secret. And I thought, I have no clue what you're talking about. She said, well, I'm in a cabin with your daughters-in-law, and they don't like you at all. They're crazy about you, and I want to know how you did that.
Aww.
Which was really sweet to hear.
Yeah.
And not a complete surprise, because we do have good, healthy relationships. And so after the dinner hour, we walked and sat by the fire for a while, and she told me all about her son who had married a horrible woman who was a terrible cook and a bad mom, and she was lazy and she was this and she was that and had never grown up with her own mother, had been passed around to foster homes and family members that didn't want her.
Hmm.
And it was a sad story. And yeah. I said to her, does she know the Lord? And she said, no, another nail in that coffin.
Yikes.
And I just said, you know, here's a woman that thinks your son's wonderful. Mm-hmm. You have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a woman who was raised without the Lord and without a mom. And God put you in her path. Do you think that's a coincidence?
Hmm. Yeah.
And she wasn't crazy about that response, to be honest.
Yeah. So it's interesting because, I mean, here we are. We're talking to mostly unmarried folks, but they're hoping to get married someday. And I feel like people fall into a couple of different camps. Either they're like, completely, I mean, this would be me. It's like, surely this is going to be easy because everyone loves me, right? I have such a great personality. I'm going to get along with everyone. I'm never going to have problems with potential in-laws. And then you have the people who are super doomsday because they hear all the horror stories and stuff. So they don't know really what to do with it. Or there are people who just don't think about it at all and just are kind of like, oh, it'll sort itself out, whatever, you know, not a big deal. Or we won't see our in-laws, or they're just kind of like, sweep it under the rug. So what, I mean, let's start out by describing what a healthy in-law relationship should look like. Like once you tie the knot, once you, you know, this whole idea of leaving and cleaving, like whether, you know, in-laws are in close proximity, maybe that's a little different than if they live further away. But what should be anticipated as a healthy norm for what this looks like?
I think it's got to start long before the wedding day.
Okay.
The way that you are greeted as a young woman coming into a family often will set for you the tone of that relationship.
Hmm.
And to be honest, like there's a closeness with dads and their daughters.
Hmm.
Moms and sons sometimes has that. And frankly, sometimes it's more moms have that.
Mm-hmm.
They really can't imagine there'd ever be a girl good enough for one of their boys. And so that can cause that mother-in-law to be a little distant. And so it'd be great if both women reached out. But I think you hit it on the head when you said, why would she like me? I'm wonderful. I think that a lot of young women go into it with that unless they've had friends who've had a bad experience or maybe even their own sisters or mom seeing them struggle with the in-laws.
Yeah.
But a healthy relationship is one where we can have a conversation and really kind of begin to lay the groundwork for a relationship. It doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get engaged in 5 minutes. The relationship with your in-laws is not going to come together in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that a young woman who wants to set a good tone might just say, I'm really excited. You've done an amazing job with your son. I'm so grateful that he had a mom like you or parents like you.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge that they had something to do with Mr. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. What would you say, like, what are some of the common traps that people tend to fall into? Like, what are going to be some of the biggest points of conflict right off the bat that could be, like, one that I would think of is, you alluded to it, where maybe the mom is has found so much identity in the current relationship she has with a son or a daughter, whatever, that she's kind of scrambling for control and to hold on to her story as she knew it and isn't willing to let go. That could be problematic. What are maybe a few of the others?
Yeah, I do think that's a big one. She's probably spent, you know, 20, 23, 24 years invested in that young adult. Mm-hmm. And here's somebody that's going to come and whisk them right out from, you know, under her nose, which is kind of tough. Mm-hmm. I think that either assuming it's going to be good or assuming it's going to be bad are two traps to avoid. Mm. If you think it's going to be good and you're not, it's going to be effortless, you probably aren't paying enough attention to maybe some of the conversations and tone and all of those kinds of things. This is someone who's new in your life, but, you know, when you get married, you get the family for free. Mm-hmm. It's a twofer. Mm-hmm. And these are relationships that take a while to develop. But if you assume it's bad, then you come in defensive. You come in looking for criticism and hearing it perhaps where it's not there. Mm-hmm. So take that relationship, that new relationship, like any other. Who is this person? Find things in common. With each of my daughters-in-law, we discovered that there were things that we shared, and that was a real good bonding place to start.
Hmm. Okay. Now, what about, like, in-laws maybe having, in fact, we did an article on this at Boundless about when you realize that maybe now you're married and you're husband is still like a little bit too deferential to his parents and their opinions, and he's maybe siding with them over you. Yep. Are there like ways to signal or recognize that kind of behavior while you're dating? Like, what could be a few things to look out for?
Yeah, I think that it can happen actually from either side, mm-hmm. from the woman's family or the man's family. I think that one of the things is that keep your ears open for, we've made a decision about something, but now he's spent the afternoon with his folks and he comes back and says, you know, I wanted to talk to you about that. I know we agreed on it, but yeah. Those are moments that you need to address. Don't overlook them. Mm-hmm. When one of our boys asked us one time, why don't you like my girlfriend? And they had gone together for about a year. I said, it's not that we don't like her, but we've watched you make decisions and then come back and say, well, you know, I talked about it with her, and I think we're going to go a different way. Mm-hmm. I watched him. They were often things he hadn't discussed with me or mm-hmm. with his dad, but they were decisions that the couple had made together about things, but now they were waffling. Mm-hmm. So keep your ears open for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you might even need to say at some point, hey, I can't help but notice that even though we decided to do A, you've now kind of changed your mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how much your parents, so your mom, might have influenced that. Mm-hmm. And I'm open to talking about it, but I want you to be aware that our conversation yielded one outcome, and now you're kind of hedging that bet a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you identify it early, it's a whole lot easier to deal with. If you just decide to suck it up and not say anything, mm-hmm. plan to do that for the rest of your marriage.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where I think it does get to be a point of contention, just if, you know, if, for example, he or she is not willing to go to the parents and set boundaries. Yep. And be like, you know,
that's boundaries are important.
That's going to be concerning. So speaking of boundaries, let's talk through some of the common, just the amount of time spent with in-laws and the whole idea of like forming your own family, but also recognizing that you have the extended family as well. I would expect that this would come up a lot around holidays, birthdays, special occasions.
Yep.
You know, the in-laws that expect like the weekend meal, like, no, we always do Sunday dinner together. What, I mean, how do you even start those conversations, and what do you realize is some of the biggest pain points there?
They're not easy.
Yeah.
And we had three sons, and they had in-law families who often had the same desires as my husband and I did. And we really did sit down and have some pretty open conversations. We have two of our sons who live close by, one other son and his family who live across the country. And so we've had to sort of negotiate and manage, because we all do really desire time together, but we can't always have it our way. Mm-hmm. So what we've often done is we've always made in-law parents for our children welcome in our home for those holidays. Hmm. My daughter Penny, her mom and dad, she's really kind of the only child. My daughter-in-law Sarah, her mom is widowed. And so Drew is always welcome. But there are also times when the kids want to do it in their own home. I can remember Lisa breaking away after like 10 years, Christmas Eve at his mom's house, Christmas Day at my mom's house. And the year I raised my hand and said, I want to do it at my house this year. Hmm. And we'll have Christmas Eve, just our family with our sons, and Christmas Day, both families will come. Hmm. Oh my gosh, you think I'd started World War III. Mm-hmm. And my in-laws chose not to come that first year. Hmm. And it was hard. Mm-hmm. And we let them know how sorry we were that that was their choice, mm-hmm. but that our decision remained. Mm-hmm. That broke the ice. I wish we had done it so much earlier than 10 years. Mm-hmm. Because my idea was to sort of rotate it among the homes. He had a sister who lived there as well.
Yeah.
If we had set that precedent early, it would have been so much easier. So don't wait.
Yeah.
Don't delay.
Yeah.
And know that this may not be your year to have them on Christmas Day. So you do Christmas Day stuff on the 1st or the 28th or whenever it is. It's not the day. Mm-hmm. It's the time together that's really most important.
Yeah. What about stuff like just straight up personality stuff? Mm-hmm. Because obviously they're marrying your son or, you know, in other cases, a daughter, whatever. You know, they're not marrying you,
right.
but you want to get along with them. How do you really kind of wade through some personality things, differences of opinions? And in that, how do you avoid, especially when you have multiple daughters-in-law playing favorites on that front?
You know, it's not an easy knot to untangle. I think that we have to remember that difference is not wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just different. My perspective may be different than her perspective, but there's probably room for more than one option. And sometimes the very best ideas have come by saying, let's see what we can do in combining what you'd like to do and what we had hoped to do for a holiday or birthday. But to be very candid, mothers-in-law need to remember that that child was given to them to raise but never to keep. Mm-hmm. God's real clear about the order. Mm-hmm. The mother does not come before the wife or mm-hmm. before the husband. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard reality when you've invested the amount of time and sometimes tears in the raising of that child. Mm-hmm. You're going to be probably a parent yourself someday. You want to reap what you sow. And if you sow in peace, if you sow love, if you sow understanding, it's amazing how sometimes that difference softens almost immediately. Mm-hmm. To say, you know what, your mom prefers to do this or you prefer to do this. Let's do it that way this year.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the specifics that would apply to more broken families. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, we've got a largely millennial audience. Many have grown up without dads or they're in broken homes. They're already, like most of their life, they've been trading off holidays or weekends or whatever. But now, maybe they're getting married and figuring out, okay, now we're going to have multiple in-laws and parental situations here, or maybe we have a single girl in our audience who's going to marry a divorced guy who has kids. There's an ex. There's, I mean, what are some unique things that they have to be aware of for treading into that space and kind of looking towards being successful with that kind of brokenness?
Well, it would be wonderful if you could have all those families in one place and they wouldn't spit and pull hair, but
yeah.
That may not be the
right.
That may not be the case. That's when I think flexibility is important. And that's when you have to get creative and you say, we'll do, you know, Thanksgiving here and we'll do Christmas there, or we'll do Christmas. We'll celebrate our Christmas time on a day other than the 25th of December. If it's not possible to combine the families, then you're going to have to decide, kind of like my husband and I did. We're having it at our home. You're all invited. Mm-hmm. If they choose not to come, that's okay. But at some point you have to say, it's not always going to be up to us to be the ones who accommodate and make sure it works out for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so in that 10th year, when we said, we're having brunch at our home, we hope everyone will come, we were disappointed that first year. But it did change the pattern. Hmm. I think it said to both sets of parents, they're adults, and they're going to be able to define some things for their family that they'd like to have happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Also, just thinking ahead a little bit about parenting, because I know that a lot of grandparents want to get into the business of their kids and their grandkids, especially in a culture that is pretty whack and just a lot of stuff, I mean, going on. And I mean, it's entertainment choices, it's bedtime choices, it's helicopter parenting and lawnmower parenting and lots of stuff going on. How can a young person, especially as they're preparing for marriage, thinking ahead of that, start preparing themselves to be respectful and open-eared and interested in, and also holding appropriate boundaries with a with an in-law and even a parent for that matter when it comes to that.
Yeah, those kids really do.
They're trying to
so much more
assert
complex.
Their independence like from the beginning, and they're like, "These are my kids."
Absolutely,
but they need to be open and be listen to wisdom too.
Well, I think that boundaries are God established boundaries for us, and He did it not to lay down the law. He did it to keep everybody safe. And I think if you think about boundaries in that respect, keep feelings safe, keep relationships safe. If I never share with my in-laws my preference that you don't sugar them up and send them home, I can't be angry with them if that's what happens because they're grandparents. If I pick my kids up and I discover that they've watched a movie or something on television, I never would have let them, but I've not communicated that, well, bad on me. So I think from the very beginning, when the kids start showing up, you start having those conversations. It's different when the in-laws are in their home. I think that they get to sort of set some of the, you don't kick the ball from the front door to the back. And, you know, you don't, there's just stuff. You don't drink red Kool-Aid on the white couch. It's their home. And I think it's reasonable to expect that in your own home, then you get to set the boundaries with your in-laws. But you do that in a way that says, hey, we'd like to ask for your support. This is how we've decided to do some things. We would really appreciate your help rather than laying down the law or I know you let them do this at your house, but it doesn't fly at mine. It's about the way we communicate it.
Yeah, good point. Is there, do you have an example? I was just thinking about, you know, again, you opened up with an example of just how great a relationship had been established with each of your daughters-in-law. Is there an example where you really did come across something that was very hard and had to be worked through and resolved, whether a difference of opinion or a misunderstanding or something, like illustrate to us how you were able to overcome something and both of you come both ways?
Do you know, I can't think of a single time when there was an issue that felt like a deal breaker. One of my daughters-in-law came from a family where there was virtually no conflict that she had ever witnessed. So she didn't have a good understanding that conflict can be healthy. And if conflict started, she would withdraw immediately. That had gone on for years because I have three sons who are competitive with one another and can be boisterous when they're all together. And it wasn't unusual for a difference of opinion to arise. And it could have been around Thanksgiving or Christmas. But she would simply withdraw and she, it just affected her so much emotionally. I didn't know that for years. And when I found out, we sat down and talked about it. I said, you grew up in a very different household than the one that your husband's grown up in. They love each other. And they'd always defend one another unless they're at war with one another and it doesn't last long. And I would just encourage you not to let it frighten you because it really did frighten her. And she said to me later, thank you so much for helping me understand that because we don't know what we don't know. As far as an issue with the girls, do you know, we just talk things out. There have been plenty of times when there's been a difference of perspective or opinion or plans, but our rule is you put it on the table and we deal with it from there.
That's funny. My sister's mother-in-law taught her how to hug. So we were not super affectionate growing up, and the family she married into is. And so she was like, I remember her coming home. She was dating my brother-in-law and her coming home and saying, I think I learned how to hug tonight.
Oh, I love that.
And it was super cute. And so she has a really good, her husband is a only child. And so they chose to move next to that set of parents so that they could have grandkids nearby and all that stuff. So they've had a really good relationship. So Well, these are great. You know, I just want to ask you one other question, kind of a general one, because then this, again, treads into the dating space and prepping for what's ahead. If a person is going to visit the family of, you know, a person they're dating or a fiancé or something, and they feel like they probably want to do some recon on this family, like they're going to be an investigative reporter and they're going to watch the dynamics of this family, how things play out, because that's going to say a lot about, you know, the person they're dating. Deb, what would you say are a few things that they really should look out for? What are the biggies?
I think one of the things to do is to say, tell me what your mom's interested in. Tell me what's real important to your sister. What are the things your dad values? So that you have some opportunity to understand that on the positive side. What do they like to do for fun? Mm. I think a lot of times the tendency is to say, okay, so tell me where the tender spots are because I want to avoid those. It's easier to build rapport and relationship with somebody on the positive side of the street. But then I would also ask, what are some of the landmines? Mm-hmm. Is there a hot spot? Is it politics? Is it which church we go to? I want to know those things as well so that I don't step in it. If you can avoid stepping in it the first time or two, and they get to see who you are, that's a whole lot better than going in prepared. I think we're back to don't make those assumptions. Mm-hmm. I think too often, young men in particular, maybe it goes both sides. Listen, honey, my dad is a piece of work. You know, he doesn't have great manners, so just kind of ignore what he says. Well, what's great about your dad? Mm-hmm. You know, you want to know that too. Mm-hmm. If all you know is the potential pitfalls, you go in waiting for the other shoe to fall.
Yeah.
You're not really having authentic conversations. Look into that person's face and say, tell me a little bit about you. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. You know, Ron has told me that you're interested in oil painting. How did you get started? Mm-hmm. People love to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
And that's when you really begin to develop some relationship.
Yeah. I would also imagine just observing how they treat one another.
Absolutely.
Relationships, how they're, you know, what the dynamic is, how, you know, are they kind to one another? Are they helping out, you know, everyone in the family and stuff like that? It's just I think too often we're not good observers.
You know? I would agree.
And we go in just assuming like, oh, or we'll see, observe crazy and then we'll be like, oh, it'll never be
it's
like that with us.
Crazy. Well, and that's true. If my three sons had all been there, there might have been good natured joking and punching. And if you're not used to that, it can be kind of jarring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, folks, the book is Related by Chance, Family by Choice. We've been talking to Deb DeArmond and getting her personal experience really, you know, three times over at this point in being basically a super in-law. So if you need to know how to be, you know, how to relate to super in-laws and have that relationship be great, we'll make sure that we have all her info linked here. So, Deb, thanks so much for being part of this.
Thanks, Lisa. It was fun.